As we get started this morning, and the first one is, if you're worshiping online, make sure you start putting in your prayer requests. Now we'll pray at the end, have a prayer of the people, and would love to have all your prayer requests in, so start putting those into the comments now, if you would. The second one is, next Sunday we're going to have a congregational meeting to elect elders. We'll be doing that in person and online, so you'll be able to participate either way. The session is nominating Toby Carlson and Lou Mills. So after the church service next week, we'll gather for a few minutes and have a meeting regarding that and elect new elders for the coming year. It's going to be a challenging and interesting year, so we'll be doing that. Are there any other announcements, anything else going on in the life of the church? If anybody's online and knows of something, put it in. We'll announce it in a few minutes. If there's not, would you please rise, either in person or at home or wherever, for our call to worship. It comes from Psalm 96 and reads this way. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the chance to gather together. We know, Lord, that because of everything going on in this world right now, that we have few here in the building. But we also recognize the church is not just in the building, in these four walls, but it's wherever we gather and however we gather. And so as we gather together online, on Facebook, on YouTube, in person, wherever it is, we just ask that you bless our coming together. Cause us to feel the bonds of love, feel the bonds of Christian faith. Allow us to worship you, and then send us into the world to live out that faith as best we can. That's what we beg for this morning. We ask you for it because we know that you give it. We know that you create those bonds. You create that love between us. And you'll show us how to use it best as we live out the faith. So, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the chance to be in here in person. Thank you for the chance to be online. Thank you for however we gather. And we lift up your name as we do. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. James, on short notice, was not able to join us this morning, so we're going to do some a cappella. Here's the good news about this. As they play through the music, we can sing it in our heads and make it however we want to sound it. So enjoy the music and worship through this, and thank you all for leading us in music. Thank you all so much for doing that. As we go into our time of tithes and offerings, I want to share a little bit of really cool news with you all. I got an email from Jackie, who leads our outreach team, and she showed us that 121 people were cared for. I don't know what the word impact is, not the right word. We provided for 121 different people over the Christmas holiday through our giving in the various different ways we have. And I just want to thank you, this church, for doing that. That was a huge project to get done. So we had that, and then back in, I guess it was, June, we had the big giveaway of the food, right? And I just want to continue encouraging the congregation. If you have an idea of how this church can give as a group, you know, we give individually our tithes and offerings, but we are to give as a group too, right? And if you have some ways that we can do that, I would love to hear it. So if you've got ideas, if something's kind of been stirring in your head, you're thinking about a way that the church can really help the community, I hope that you reach out to me and let's talk about those things. I think it could be a wonderful opportunity for the church to give too. So as we give our tithes and offerings weekly, let's remember that how can we give as a church to the community as well, like we did at Christmas and so many other times. So thank you all so much for that. I want to read the scripture to you this morning. It comes from, let's have a prayer. That would be a good thing to do. I saw it on the screen. That would probably be, let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to give. Where it's our time or whether it's our talents or whatever it is, Lord, we see the opportunity to give and we thank you for those moments. And we thank you too, Lord, when people give to us or those around us. We thank you that there are times when we're able to see the actions of others and the offerings of others, and it spurs us on. And when we do, it spurs others on. And so we just ask you, God, to allow us to continue that belief and that understanding that to give is to do really good in this world. We ask you, Lord, to continue teaching us that in whatever way that you see we need it in our lives. Show us how to give. Show us how to see others giving and allow us all to contribute to one another in this glorious kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for this. And God's people said, amen. Our scripture reading this morning is a very familiar one again. It comes from Luke 2. It's 21 through 38. And it's still, the family is still in Jerusalem at this time, in the Bethlehem, Jerusalem area. So Luke 2, 21 through 38. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She had never left the temple, but worshipped there, fasting and prayer all day and night. At the moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
After reading this scripture and mulling on it a while, I had a hard time sermonizing this scripture. But after thinking on it some, I've come to believe that one of the tricks of the faith, called a life hack, if you will, is figuring out what we need to be looking for. What it is we need to be on the lookout for. There's all kinds of things in this world that the world wants us to see. But do we know what it is that we need to be watching for moment to moment? Where is our focus? Are we focused on what we need to be focused on? Because I think the way the world works is that what we're looking for in this world, we're probably going to find. We need to make sure we know what's right to look for. If you're looking for bad, boy, you can find it, right? Mom told me a long time ago, nothing good happened after midnight. What are you looking for? But if you want to find true good, if you're looking for that, you can find that too. We can find whatever it is that we're focused on. Let me tell you in the scripture kind of what got me thinking about all of this. It's my assumption that on the day that Mary and Joseph and the baby showed up to the temple, that there was quite a lot going on in the building. There were always people in the temple. The temple was literally the very center of Jewish life. And so there were always people gathered there. The temple was always open, prayer time several times a day. It was a hub of life. It's no different today. If we were to travel to Jerusalem and go to the Temple Mount, where the temple once stood, we would find the Western Wall, which it still stands. And there at the wall are all kinds of people right this moment praying their hearts out. I just pulled the camera up, by the way, a few minutes ago to see who were there. There's probably 100 people at the wall right now. During a pandemic, there was Sarah Strasser, I think, went there one time. And she'll tell you there's always people gathered in the temple. There always has been. So that day that Mary and Joseph showed up, it wasn't just a few people here and there. There were people everywhere. And not only were there a lot of people, but there was a whole lot of stuff that was going on too. There were people sacrificing, and part of the ritual of sacrificing is you take the blood and you throw it up on the altar, which I want no part of, by the way. And at the same time, there were people worshiping. There would have been people there calling on the name of God and lifting up the name of God and worshiping the name of God. And then I assume that there were some people who had just gotten to town and they were standing back and looking at this wonderful building. And then there were those who were lived in Jerusalem who saw the place every day, and they were walking back and forth like people walk in Manhattan maybe. There was a lot going on in the temple. There were priests doing priestly things. It was quite the scene. There were money changers too. And there were people who sold sacrifices. Y'all remember how Jesus loved those folks, right? So they had a role. People would come from outside of the community. Jews at this point had moved all over the place. And when they would travel back, they would have to bring their money with them. And so they'd go in the temple and they would exchange money. And then there were other families who traveled hundreds of miles. And it's hard to bring your sacrifice hundreds of miles, and so you would come to the temple and you would buy your sacrifice. And so there were people there that were the stall owners that were talking back and forth. It was nonstop. There was music in the air. There were people singing songs and they were playing instruments like you were doing, and there was the smell of the smoke from the fire, and there was incense in the room and all the commotion. And then there too was just the pure majesty of the temple. The temple was huge and it was beautiful. And even the disciples one time got caught up in how beautiful it was. Remember, they said, "Look, teacher, look how beautiful these stones are. It's magnificent." And that's because it was, man. The temple was like Disneyland and Notre Dame in heaven, all wrapped up into one place. It was like nowhere else. And it was the center of Jewish life. And it was nonstop. There was so much to look at. And if you didn't know what you were looking for, if you hadn't studied up, if you hadn't gotten close to God in the midst of everything going on, if you didn't know better, you might just have missed a young poor couple who slipped through the crowd to have a ritual for their baby. In the midst of all of this, a young poor couple from the sticks of Nazareth, looking like a young couple from the sticks of Nazareth, came in with a baby, and they could have slipped right in and nobody would have ever known it if not for a couple of people who knew exactly what to look for. I mean, with all the glamour and all the pomp and all the circumstance going on, it wouldn't be surprising at all if Mary and Joseph and the baby had gone along in with all the others and done their thing and gotten the souvenir picture and then gone home without anybody knowing what just happened. Why would anybody notice them? I called them poor for a reason. Luke makes it blatantly clear that they were a poor young couple. It says it right here in what we just read. It said they offered up a sacrifice of a pair of doves or pigeons. If you look back in the book of Leviticus, what you'll find are laws that tell you what you're supposed to sacrifice. It's all lined up in Leviticus. And here's what it says. If you're going to sacrifice, you need to sacrifice a sheep or a goat. That's what's standard, unless you're poor. And then you can sacrifice a couple of dove or pigeons. And Luke tells us exactly what the sacrifice was for a reason. Which, by the way, on a totally side note, makes me wonder. I wonder if it was embarrassing for Mary and Joseph to come to the altar with just a dove when everybody else had a sheep instead. You remember food stamps used to be actual food stamps, right? You had the book and all that. And nobody wanted to go up to the counter to buy anything with that. Now it's an EBT card. It's not as embarrassing. And I wonder if Mary and Joseph felt the same way. In line to go up to the altar when everybody else is sheep and they're just carrying a pigeon. Total side note. Just curious. My point is this. In that place, and on that day, with all that going on, they would have been so easy to miss. But there were two people that day with better vision than the rest. Two people understood what came through the door. Only two people knew what to look for. One of them was a man named Simeon. Simeon was a good man too. Luke called him devout and righteous and said the Holy Spirit rested on him. By the way, here's an interesting side note too about Luke is always about talking about poverty. Luke will make you feel guilty about having a dollar in your pocket. Luke will convince you to hand that dollar away. He's just the worst to read sometimes. But devout and righteous in Luke means that somebody cares for the poor like you're supposed to. So Simeon was one that understood that the last will be first and the first will be last. He got it. He understood. And is this man, the one who understands the kingdom, Luke says, that saw the glory that came in with these two kids who walked through the door with their baby. He didn't miss it. He wasn't looking for something else. He knew what to look for. And when he saw that Jesus, what did he say? He said, Lord, you can take me now. I've seen it all. We've been saved. The Messiah is here. I can go home now. I'm happy. He knew what to look for. And I believe that's the trick in life. Then there was Anna. I feel so for this woman. What a heartbreaking story, but what an absolute fortress of a woman too. The story doesn't say when she got married, but we can bet that it was a pretty early age. That's when you got married then. She was married for 7 years, and in those 7 years, I bet she probably had her life pretty much mapped out. It was life, it was children, it was farm, it was family, it was life. Until it wasn't, when she found out one day her husband was dead. Scripture says that was after 7 years of marriage. And then until she was 84, she stayed in the temple, worshiping and praying and fasting. That's got to be what, 55, 60 years easy, right? Maybe more. In that time, she completely devoted herself to the Lord. She stayed there in temple, seeing how close to God that she could get. Luke wants us to believe that she barely ever left those walls. She didn't venture outside. She didn't worry about anything except her God. That's all she did. That's all she was worried about. That's all that seemed to matter to her. And to reward her for her faithfulness. Or maybe it's better said that because she was prepared, she saw that something that nobody else saw except for Simeon. She saw when the Messiah was carried in, and she knew immediately who that was. Of course, that church lady told everybody about it. What do you expect a good church woman to do who sees the Messiah? You best know she went and told everybody. Nobody's going to get her to hush. And who knows if anybody listened to her or not, but that didn't stop her, did it? She'd seen God at work. She'd seen God bringing a Savior, and she knew immediately what to look for. And that's because the trick of life, the trick of faith, is knowing what to look for. You know, the thing about Jesus is that he doesn't often come with a neon sign attached to his back. He doesn't show up with a superhero cape and a cross on his chest. I mean, he came in the first times in strips of cloth in the manger, right? He can be sometimes hard to pick out in the crowd if you're not careful, if you don't know what you're looking for. And see, then we have the problem that the devil, that evil, that the world is always trying to divert our attention. Hey, look at me, it'll scream, and it'll have us looking at flashier things rather than an obscure and humble Jesus. Like if we see a problem, something that needs to be fixed, the world will lie to us and tell us that violence is the answer. It sure sold a terrorist in Nashville on that Christmas morning, didn't it? Evil has sold that to humanity since Cain and Abel. And not just physical violence either, but words and beliefs. Nothing has changed. If we look to violence for an answer, we'll find one there. But will it keep us from seeing our Lord? That's just one example out of a bazillion. Greed, the temptation to blame others, to ease our own pain, political division, to solve the world's problems, lust, to soothe the savage soul. We might be tempted to look at some people and call them the problem and never realize that they're saying the exact same thing about us. Whatever we want to look for, we'll find it. And so it becomes ever so important that we Christians remember that so that we're always preparing and focusing to see Jesus Christ. Simeon and Anna, they prepared themselves. They were always looking for those right things. And so the Messiah came in the room. They didn't miss it. They knew what to look for. And praise God if we can find ways to be no different than them. Church, there's all kinds of places to look for answers in our world. And there's all kinds of people that will tell us that they haven't. But the truth is that there is only one true answer to how to live in this world now and forevermore. And that answer snuck into a temple with barely anybody noticing. Everybody else was looking somewhere else. But not Simeon and Anna. And I pray to God, not ever me and not ever us. We know what to look for. Because we've been given the Christmas story to remind us. And we've been given the entire scripture as a guide so that we are never distracted. Let's never be distracted, but always be on the lookout for God. He looks like Jesus Christ. And he's full of love and grace and mercy and peace. And he's here to redeem all of creation. And so we join Simeon and Anna. And we join a heavenly host of witnesses who search for Christ wherever he is. And when we see him, may we see him. And then go to the mountaintop and tell everybody about it. And God's people said, amen. If you've not listed them, please go ahead and list your prayer concerns. We want to have prayer for them in just a moment. And in the meantime, we'll hear Joy to the World from our wonderful musicians. Thank you all. This morning. The first one I want to mention is for Ed Wittenberg. Ed had his lung collapsed again. He's had a recurring issue with this over, I guess, the last couple of years now, really, and is in hospice due to the issue. So we need to be in prayer for Ed. I talked to him not 10 minutes before the worship service. He sounded good. His lung had healed back over and was holding air again. But he wanted me to say a few things, and he said this. He goes, I love that church. He said, I drove a lot of nails in it. It's been around a long time. And he wanted to say that he loves everybody in the church. And he just wanted to make sure that I told everybody. He told me to tell everybody that he loves them and misses them. And so just be in prayer for Ed and his family. He's got all his family around him. That's what's going on with him, and just lift him up and keep it in prayers. Larry Gardner asked for prayers for Donnie Bryan, who had brain surgery last week. AD and Mary Rudolph, Doug Hughes is improving from COVID, and thanks for prayers for him. Also, the Tommy Judge, Rocky Glade. I got the name right? Rocky Glade is not meeting today because they've had a bad breakout in that community and in that church. From COVID, so we need to keep, I think Tommy and Glory had, in fact, infusions, I guess the convalescent blood is what they call it, maybe. Mike and Mary Jo have been sick. There's been a lot of people sick in that community, so let's make sure we lift up the Eagleville area and Rocky Glade. Are there other, and we need to be in prayer for this morning, obviously the city of Nashville and everything that's going on with that and our first responders. By the way, you know what? Police sometimes catch some difficulties, but you know we need to make sure we call it right when it's right. The six officers who ran into those buildings rescued a bunch of people. You know what? And there's just a few of us in this room, but I'm up for giving those folks an applause, man, because they didn't have to, man, and they ran in and saved a bunch of lives. And so when that was amazing. And so we need to lift them up and say thank you to those folks who care for us, man, because they did wonderful stuff Christmas morning. Unbelievable. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for? Any others that we need to be in prayer for? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, the only understanding that we can come through when we talk about prayer requests is the recognition that things have always been difficult and you've shown up. If we look back at your birth, your life, your death in those 33 years, so many incredibly difficult things were happening. There was two guys killing either side of you. The crucifixion wasn't a rare event. It happened two other times that day. We know that bad exists in this world and that pain and hurt and death exists. But in the midst of that, we found resurrection. In the midst of trouble, we find relief. Salvation means getting saved. If you're saved, it means you were in a difficult place before. Everything about the faith is about coming out of the difficulty into the light. And so as we bring these prayer requests to you, we do so recognize that you've always worked in the hardest situations. And we ask you, God, to do so again. So for Ed, for Donnie Bryan, for Doug Hughes, for Rocky Glade Church and all those in it, for all who we think of right now that are in difficult and challenging times, we say thank you, God, that you've worked in the midst of them. Where we need to put legs to our prayer, Lord, we ask that you remind us. And where we just need to rely on you, allow us to see that too. And we pray it all through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Church, hear the benediction. Go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, go in mercy, and go looking for Jesus Christ. And release us from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said, amen. For those who want to watch for a moment, we have angels heard on high from the Bowers brothers and the Southers and Janice. And we thank you all so much for being part of the worship today. God bless and bye-bye.
to do music stuff for next week.
Didn't know if it ever got used.
It didn't, because we never got it quite right.